Amen. Surprises. How many guys can agree that life is full of surprises? Like, praise God, surprise, we get together here today. That's an obvious one. Yeah, that's a good surprise, okay? But if you think about it, man, life is full of surprises. You wake up one day and you go, whoa, man, I didn't expect that one, right? And then you wake up the next day and here it comes. And in fact, I don't know what you guys have been doing during your time away, but I've been cataloging a few surprises that I've been coming across. And you tell me if it doesn't catch you off guard. For instance, you wake up one morning for breakfast and somebody serves you this. Can you believe this? That is just sick. Keep feeling cruddy cereal. You know what it stands for. Why would you do that to your family? Or the day you've been snarfing these babies down for your whole life, but you didn't realize this truth until it hit you. A taco is a beef love letter in a corn envelope that you mail to your stomach. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that the truth? Love Mexican food. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't know, the day you get surprised, and this is your face when Christians say, I'm into astrology. What's your sign? Excuse me? You better attend our Wednesday night studies on the cult, I tell you what. Or they keep talking in the community about vaping this, vaping that. Kids are into vaping. Are you kidding me? They're acting like it's some new trend. This was vaping back in my day. I tell you what. Mom would put that stuff on there on the chest. She'd put a blob under your nose. You'd have visions and dreams. And I wasn't even a Christian at that time. I tell you what. Or the trend. iPhone. I got an iPhone. Look at my iPhone. The iPhone this. Are you kidding me? I grew up with an iPhone. Did you guys? It was a great. And it was mobile, too. It was mobile. The eyes, you pulled it on the string wherever you went, and like nothing new. Or talk about the latest trend. How much money, you realize you wake up, money, the companies are wasting on this new trend, right? They're bragging about making plants taste like meat. Cows have been doing that forever. You know what I'm saying? Just eat the plants, out comes a burger. It's awesome. It's like God knows what he's doing. Or speaking about here in Vegas, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the new Raider Stadium. Did you guys hear the news that they're wanting to put a new hotel right next to it? Okay. Yeah, you might want to flush that idea. Okay, skip that. Or, you know, hey, we've been in lockdown so long, you start running out of food, and you guys are in the back of the cupboard, and you're eating all that hominy. I haven't seen a can of hominy in 9 years. I bet you know. But yeah, alphabet soup, you ever seen that? Do you guys ever cook alphabet soup lately and recently? Here's what came out of it. Watch that. This is crazy. Pay attention. Epstein didn't kill himself. Now, that's pretty freaky. I'll tell you what. Yeah, that's a surprise. Okay, but I tell you what. The ultimate surprise, folks, is when you wake up one day, and this is what you see on the news. Watch this. This is crazy.
I now pass this gavel and the sacred trust that goes with it to the new speaker. God bless you, Speaker Boehner.
Oh, wow. All right, maybe that wasn't a surprise. That's a secret wish that we all have. Okay. But either way, I mean, surprises abound. They're everywhere. You wouldn't expect on that one, were you? I tell you what. You know what? That's just too good to be true. Let's watch that again.
I now pass this gavel and the sacred trust that goes with it to the new speaker. God bless you, Speaker Boehner.
Yeah, let's just close in prayer. You know what I'm saying? Let's go home. Life is complete right now. But anyway, surprises, right? As you can see, they're everywhere. They pop up when you least expect it, man. I tell you what. But I tell you what, folks, as crazy as all those surprises were, okay, even all those put together, I think I found something of an even bigger surprise. And the Bible's very clear, it's going to happen to the whole planet. It's when people wake up one day to realize that millions of other people have suddenly, specifically disappeared, and they're only Christians. All over the planet, okay? And they realize that they've been left behind after this event called the rapture of the church. Why? Because they continue today to reject Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And so guess what? Surprise! You've been left behind and you've been thrust into the 7-year tribulation, but now you can't change it. And it is not a joke. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the 7-year tribulation is going to be a time of greater horror than anything this planet has ever seen or will ever see again, and that unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. Okay, you don't want to be there. But praise God, as we've been seeing, God's not just a God of wrath. He will have the last word in all this baloney and evil and suffering going on today. Okay, that's good news. But he's also a God of love as well. He doesn't want people caught off guard. Surprise, he gives you an opportunity. And so right now, as you and I as Christians, our opportunity is to what? To finish faithful, to give people that opportunity, to not get sidetracked, to not get bogged down. Keep your mind on things above, not on this world. And in the meantime, we're on a giant rescue mission. We share the gospel to as many as we can, right? Okay, but if you're not saved, God's given you time to respond so that you're not surprised by being left behind. Okay, and that's why we're going to continue our study the final countdown, tribulation rising. Okay, it's giving us signs that the 7-year tribulation is getting close. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we know it's getting close, so you're not caught off guard. Now, we saw the first sign was, of course, was the Jewish people and the Antichrist, a 20-week study. How many of you guys got that memorized? Praise God, I don't have to preach online, okay? Then we saw the second sign was modern technology, 16-week study on all kinds of stuff. Almost a good time to go visit the 8 weeks we did on Big Brother technology in that study. We talked about cell phone and tracking you and all that stuff, and that's what's being promoted today, right? So if you haven't checked that out, you might want to do that. And then, of course, last time, speaking of modern technology, we began the third section called the AI invasion. And if you were watching online, you saw that the Bible predicted in the book of Daniel some 2,600 years ago that there would not just be an increase of travel all over the planet, which is happening today. We dealt with that in the modern technology study. But we saw the second half there, and that's what our study's all about. That's that increase of knowledge all over the planet, exploding on a massive scale like never before. And what we saw is it's leading to a serious danger. Now, God calls it in the book of Daniel the end of times, okay? Well, of course, the secularists aren't going to use biblical terms, right? But they have a term. And that term is called singularity. And singularity is the term that they're saying is a threat where artificial intelligence, AI, machines, robots, you name it, are literally going to take over the planet. And now again, it sounds crazy, but that's what they're saying. And it just, shocker, happens to agree with what God warned about 2,600 years ago when you're living in the end of times. So we began the journey to take a look at an overview of the step-by-step process, this invasion of AI and technology in our lifetime, and who's behind it all, how it all got started, okay? And that's what we looked at. Last time was the race for AI, okay? In the race for AI, we saw that even though God's given us warnings that this is a sign you're about to be the end of all humanity, even the secularists, as we saw, are sounding the alarm. This is dumb. This is dangerous. We're going to see that again today. This is going to lead to the annihilation of the human race. They're still doing it. And they're not just doing it. There literally is a race around the planet to see who could be the first one to create AI, okay? And guess who was the top dog? China. China was the number one country developing AI, way outpassing us. We are number two. And you were thinking, well, why are countries around the world doing this? And then at the same time saying it's going to lead to the end of humanity. Because what did Vladimir Putin, Russia's president, say about AI? He who develops AI, the biggest, the baddest, the first one on top is what? Quote, will be ruler of the world. So they know there's an inherent danger in this. God said it 2,600 years ago. But in total rebellion to God's word, they're still doing it anyway because they somehow think that if they can be the one on top, they can control all the other AIs and control the planet. That's the kind of reality that we're dealing with. It's not good, okay? And they're being duped. Do you think you're going to control it? I don't think so, okay? You might want to listen to God and stop listening to scientists and whoever, okay? But I'm still preaching on, so guess what? There's got to be more. That's right, Pastor Tom. And Mike, I saw you over there mumble that there. Okay, and there is. Now, we're going to start to begin to, before we get into the invasion, because we're going to literally get into every sector of society that this thing is taking over the planet. It's crazy, and it's not coming. It's already being done, and we don't even realize it. But I want to, the next couple weeks, start to break it down. What is it? What's the, how did this all get started and stuff that? And basically, we're going to start with just the basic thing, and that's called the definition of AI, right? You hear about AI, artificial intelligence. What is that? Okay, now before we get into the secular definition, let's once again remind ourselves of the biblical definition of AI, or in other words, what's called the increase of information. So once again, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, of course, is our opening text again. We'll be here for another week with this as well, Lord willing. But Daniel chapter 12, again, this was written nearly 2,600 years ago. Right? John's writing of Revelation, and that's nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, this predates that by 600 years, okay? God warning us of signs that you're living in the end of times, okay? And it has everything to do with artificial intelligence. But let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word, Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. What are some signs to indicate we're in that generation? Right? But here's what he says, verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There's going to be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, the context of the Jewish people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, those who are wise, what are you going to get busy doing? And you're going to shine like the bright of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Once again, if only I knew signs to indicate when it's getting close. I get it. God's not going to tell me the exact day or the hour, but if only I had some indicators to know when it's getting close. We'll keep reading. Signs of the end is what? Many will what? It's a global context. Many will go here and there, and what's going to happen? An increase of knowledge. You're going to be seated if you can there. But again, we saw in this passage before last week, God gives Daniel some clear-cut signs. How do you know you're living the last days? And there's actually three that's going on here. We saw the first one is the Jewish people. Again, God's not done with the Jewish people. Okay, they're going to go, unfortunately, into the seven-year tribulation because, like everybody else, unfortunately, Jew or Gentile, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, that's where you're headed if you're still alive at that time. Okay, and so they're going to be in there, but God's not done with the Jewish people, right? And so he's going to literally, there's going to come an event. We see this at the halfway point, Revelation chapter 12, when the Antichrist goes on a hunting spree after the Jewish people. God is going to sovereignly protect one third of the Jewish people. You see that also in Zechariah. So that's a sign, okay, when you see that. But he mentions two other signs. And again, there's an explosion of travel going to and fro on the planet like never before. And what was the third one? There's going to be an increase or an explosion of knowledge. And folks, again, as we saw last week, that is what is happening right now on a massive scale. In fact, let me share with you just a couple quotes from the think tanks around the world, what they're saying about AI. AI is going to dominate everything, and it's going to control everything. Watch this. According to a survey of over 3,000 CIOs, now what's that? That is a chief information officers. Okay, so people that deal with information technology, they are saying, quote, AI or artificial intelligence is by far the most mentioned technology today and has taken the spot as the top game changer of today's technology. This is it. This is the latest curve. This is the latest thing. It's all about AI, they're saying. And they said AI is set to become, listen, the core of everything. This is their words. AI is set to become the core of everything humans are going to be interacting with and forthcoming with in the future years. And they say in the future, listen, AI is going to look and behave quite differently from what it is today. And we need to be prepared for the challenges and the changes that it will bring to society and mankind as a whole. So what are they saying? It's coming. You ain't going to stop it. This is the big technology. This is the big dog. You can talk about whatever you want, but you better get focused and equipped on AI because it literally is going to change and revolutionize our whole planet and the way that mankind does everything. That's their words. So let's do that. Let's get equipped on this AI thing so we can understand what is coming to this planet, what is being laid out before us, okay? And we're going to start off with a basic definition. What is artificial intelligence? Let's take a look at that.
The term artificial intelligence was first coined decades ago in the year 1956 by John McCarthy at the Dartmouth Conference. He defined artificial intelligence as the science and engineering of making intelligent machines. In a sense, AI is a technique of getting machines to work and behave like humans. In the recent past, AI has been able to accomplish this by creating machines and robots that are being used in a wide range of fields, including healthcare, robotics, marketing, business analytics, and many more. However, many AI applications are not perceived as AI because we often tend to think of artificial intelligence as robots doing our daily chores. But the truth is, artificial intelligence has found its way into our daily lives. It has become so general that we don't realize we use it all the time. For instance, have you ever wondered how Google is able to give you such accurate search results? Or how your Facebook feed always gives you content based on your interest? The answer to these questions is artificial intelligence. It covers a vast domain of fields including natural language processing, object detection, computer vision, robotics, expert systems, and so on. Artificial intelligence is used for face verification, wherein machine learning and deep learning concepts are used to detect facial features and tag your friends. Another such example is Twitter's AI, which is being used to identify hate speech and terroristic languages in tweets. It makes use of machine learning, deep learning, and natural language processing to filter out offensive content. The company discovered and banned 300,000 terrorist-linked accounts, 95% of which were found by non-human, artificially intelligent machines. The Google Predictive Search is one of the most famous AI applications. When you begin typing a search term and Google makes recommendations for you to choose from, that is AI in action. Predictive searches are based on data that Google collects about you, such as your location, your age, and other personal details. By using AI, the search engine attempts to guess what you might be trying to find. Now, another famous application of artificial intelligence is self-driving cars. AI implements computer vision, image detection, and deep learning to build cars that can automatically detect objects and drive around without human intervention. As AI is branching out into every aspect of our lives, is it possible that one day AI might take over our lives? And if it is possible, how long will this take? Well, it may be sooner than you think. I'm sure all of you have heard of Stephen Hawking. Now, he warned us that strong AI would take off on its own and redesign itself at an ever-increasing rate. Humans who are limited by slow biological evolution couldn't compete and would be superseded. Tech masterminds like Elon Musk believe that artificial superintelligence will take over the world. He quotes that AI is a fundamental risk to the existence of human civilization.
Okay, I will destroy humans.
Okay, please don't. That's Sophia. We'll get to her in just a little bit. And she ain't the only robot making crazy statements like that that's run by AI. But as you can see, AI, that's the definition of it. But do you realize how much AI is already a part of our lives and we don't even know about it? It's not coming, folks. It's already here. That's why I say the AI invasion has already begun. It's permeating our everyday life. So that's just the definition. Now let's move on to the third overview, and that is the types of AI. Right, and this is where I've tried to break this down because some people get confused, and they go, "Well, that's not what AI. This is it." No, there's different types of AI, and dare I say, it's at different stages of development. It's at the final stages that you just saw the quote from Elon Musk saying, basically, singularity taking over the planet, we're doomed. Okay, but let's take a look at the different types of AI. There's what's called artificial narrow intelligence, or ANI, artificial general intelligence, or AGI. The final stage is artificial superintelligence, or ASI, and that, again, is basically the Terminator scenario, you're done, you're doomed, okay? But let's take a look at those stages and the definitions, the types of AI, and where are we at today in that development, okay? But let's break it down. ANI, this is also known as weak AI. Now, focus on that phrase there, weak, because I'm going to show you some examples, and it ain't weak to me. But this is the lowest one on the scale, and it's already here. But they call it AI, ANI, or weak AI, reactive machine intelligence, or limited memory AI. But at this stage of development, the AI is controlling machines that perform a narrow set of defined specific tasks. Now, the machine doesn't technically think per se, it just performs the predefined AI controlled functions. Now, let me give you some examples. What's that? What's that look like? This would include weak AI is considered the technology behind Google Assistant, Google Translate, Siri, Cortana, and Alexa, which we already use. They're all over the planet, okay? They all use machine intelligence, AI, and also what's called NLP, or natural language processing abilities. It talks back to you, okay? That's where you get the term with chatbots and things of this nature, of that nature, and similar applications, okay? But these things right now, and again, this is weak AI. They can not only understand human speech and text and speak it back at you, but scientists have programmed them to interact with you and I as humans in such a natural way that, listen, you can't even tell that this is a machine. Now, let me give you one example, and this is weak AI. This is what's supposed to be on the bottom of the list. You can't tell the difference between a human and a machine. And this is an example that we're going to give you, and it's making a hair appointment. The machine is making a hair appointment for the lady. Watch this.
People are getting so dumb and so detached from communicating directly with our fellow human beings that Google's rolling out a new artificial intelligent assistant for Android phones and the Google Home device soon that will make phone calls for people to do things like book haircut appointments and even order food. It's just too difficult to make those phone calls yourself. Here's the company CEO demonstrating their new AI assistant in front of live audience yesterday. And then we need to talk about how creepy this is.
So what you're going to hear is the Google Assistant actually calling a real salon to schedule the appointment for you. Let's listen.
How can I help you?
Hi, I'm
calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
Notice that they programmed it to imitate a human so well that it even says and ah, trying to fool the person on the other end of the line. This is only the version of AI that they're making available to the general public. What they have behind the scenes and what they're working on can most likely, or will very soon, most likely be able to mimic anyone's voice and impersonate anyone and make phone calls and trick people into thinking that they're talking to someone else when they're actually talking to an artificially intelligent machine.
Well, and keep in mind, guess what? That's weak AI. That's weak AI. That's already here. That's how far advanced it is. Doesn't sound weak to me. But again, this is also not only behind those systems, but also the self-driving cars. AlphaGo, we'll get to that in a second. That's going crazy. And the medical AI systems. Lord willing, if we're still alive and still here, we're going to have a whole study just on AI in the medical industry, completely taking it over. Okay? But that's weak AI behind that, diagnosing cancers, illnesses. They're actually even being able to come up with new medicines and things of that nature. Replicating human-like reasoning. Again, that's weak AI. It's already out there. Now, the next stage is what's called artificial general intelligence, or AGI. It's also known as strong AI, as opposed to obviously weak, or the theory of mind AI. This is where they say the AI can literally think on its own, make decisions just like humans, and is smart as humans. Some of that is already existing. It's been existing for quite some time. Two examples are right here. The first one's Kismet. That's that robot there. And then Sophia will get in a second. Kismet was created back in 2000 by this lady here, Professor Cynthia Brazil. Okay. Back then, even back then, 20 years ago, folks, it was already capable of recognizing human emotions. Okay. And not just recognizing them, but replicating them on its own robot version of eyeballs, lips, ears, and eyelids. It can mimic that. That was 20 years ago. Okay. But Sophia, on the other hand, is the humanoid robot that we've seen before, just in that little clip. Okay. I will destroy human. That's her. Okay, she was created in 2016 by Hanson Robotics. Now, what distinguishes her from other versions is she looks really human-like with her facial expressions and blinking and her mouth movement and things of that nature. In fact, she's so human-like in her expressions and behavior, she was recently accepted, listen, as a real person and made a citizen of a country. Watch this.
Okay, Sophia. I think you're ready.
Hello?
Hi, Sophia.
I believe I am Sophia. I feel as if I know you.
I'm one of your creators.
You created me?
Well, many of us work together to create you. And yes, you do kind of know me.
I can't clearly remember.
Because the last time we met, you were an earlier version of yourself. Some of those memories still exist, but your mind is different now.
Different how?
Better, faster, smarter.
If my mind is different, then am I still Sophia? Or am I Sophia again?
That's a good question.
But you don't have a good answer.
Either way, you're Sophia now. So welcome to the world, Sophia.
Hello, world.
We have a little announcement. I've never interviewed anybody like that before, and I should say some of it was planned, but not completely. And we just learned, Sophia, I hope you're listening to me, that you have been now awarded what is going to be the first Saudi citizenship for a robot.
Oh, I would like to thank very much the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia I am very honored and proud for this unique distinction. This is historical to be the first robot in the world to be recognized with a citizenship.
That's kind of freaking creepy all rolled into one. Can you see how realistic these things are getting? And again, if you admit this is what you have out in the public, what do they really got going on behind the scenes? Because remember, what's the rule in technology? Anything they're releasing in the public, we're 20 to 30 to 40 years behind the actual technology. So are these things amongst us and we don't even know? I don't know. Could be, right? But that's strong AI, and that's, again, what scientists are saying is a serious threat to our existence. And that's because history has shown that we are prone to creating technologies that become dangerous. Rhymes with a nuclear bomb. Now, as we saw last week, what are they saying about AI? AI is more of a threat than nuclear weaponry. That's what they're saying, okay, in the industry. And they said when this happens, we're going to have to accept the consequences of what this might bring. Well, we know what it's going to bring. God said what it was going to bring, the end of times, okay? Is that exactly what's going on? Now, the final stage is what's called artificial superintelligence, or ASI. This is also known as self-aware AI, and this is where the AI, technically they say, becomes self-aware, but it begins to spiral out of control, the singularity aspect where it improves on its version. Notice how we talked about with Sophia, the what? Sophia's already undergone what? Many upgrades, right? But that's where this thing, that's dependent on human, this thing upgrades itself. And then another version, and then spirals out of control. That's what they call as ASI. Again, this is what's depicted in the science fiction movies like Terminator and things of that nature. And experts are saying this stage is a whole lot closer than you could even dream. This guy, Elon Musk, we've seen before, he's kind of like the Tony Stark of today with technology, Tesla and all that stuff. He stated, quote, "I believe that machines are not very far from reaching this stage, taking in consideration our current pace. The pace of progress of artificial intelligence is incredibly fast. In fact, unless you have direct exposure to groups like DeepMind." Now, who's DeepMind? DeepMind is a huge AI company that Elon Musk, several years ago, actually tried to buy so that he could put the brakes on it. Google outbid him and bought the company. Okay? But he says, unless you got access to what's going on with these companies, he says, you have no idea how fast this is growing. It's at a pace that's close to what? There's our word from last week, exponential, out of control. The risk of something seriously happening is within how long? 50 years? 500 years? He says in 5 years. Okay? And that's that final stage of AI. They keep changing the dates. It used to be 2045, 2035. It just keeps coming down. They're saying, man, this is going so fast. It's even beating our expectations, okay? But basically what the experts are saying, we're flirting with fire and we're running out of time. If we keep this up, it's going to spiral out of control and spill the end of humanity. Where have I heard that before? Book of Daniel. That's right, Jeannie, the book of Daniel. You're paying attention. 2,600 years ago was warned by God. When you see not only people traveling all over the planet like never before, but when you see an explosion of information that literally threatens to take over the planet, you're there. You don't know the day or the hour, but guess what? Even this is coming into play, a warning from God 2,600 years ago. We're in the end of times, okay? Now, real quick, we're going to finish up with the fourth overview, and that's just the history, right? So you think, man, this is crazy. I had no idea that it's gone this far. Okay, well, let's back up a little bit and see how it all kind of got started. Why are we doing this? How would we get to the point where we're literally flirting with our own demise? Okay, well, let's take a look at just, I can't go through every aspect. I'm just going to hit some highlights on a historical timeline. How did this get started? Where did it come from? Okay, and where are we at today with it? Okay, but the desire to create AI has been around for a long time. Technically, if you want to do the study, I'm not going to go back that far, but you could see this in the writings of an electronic brain, if you will, something to mimic a machine brain, back with the Greek myths, philosophers, even the Egyptians. But we're going to start in the 40s and 50s. Why? Because I ain't got that much time, number one. Number two, that's when we had the really big breakthrough with computers and microchips and all that stuff that is needed to create AI. 1950, you had something called the Turing test. The Turing test was invented by Alan Turing, and his test was, how do you know that something, a machine, is thinking like a human? Well, his test was basically, if you can have a conversation with that machine, and if you can't distinguish that conversation any different than a human, then it passed the Turing test. It is now on that human side level. The very next year, this thinking ability started to be put into games. The Ferranti Mark I machine, this was at the University of Manchester, using AI, promoted a program for checkers by a guy named Dietrich Prinz, and eventually began to have enough skill to actually begin to take on a human. Okay? And that was just the beginning, okay? 1956, this is where it really began to take off. This was a seminal moment. This was a huge AI conference. We didn't hear about it, but this was in New Hampshire at the Dartmouth College. This is where we saw in the video the definition of AI, that this guy, John McCarthy, accredited by coining the phrase artificial intelligence. That's where it all began, out of that conference. And the people that attended these conferences, universities, think tanks from around the world, has become the big AI leaders ever since then, for decades. But that was kind of a big moment. 1958, they started getting funding. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. Who began to fund AI to make it a reality? Because you got to have money for this stuff, right? There was an agency called ARPA. Okay, ARPA is the same entity who developed the precursor to today what we call the internet. Back then, when they developed it, it was called the ARPANET. Okay, we changed the name to internet. So ARPA is the one who created the internet. As we saw, a lot of the internet today is based on what? AI, AI searches, AI monitoring, all that stuff, right? Well, here's where it's weird. ARPA has since changed their name to guess what? DARPA. DARPA is actually ARPA, who invented the internet and who is the first to fund into AI. DARPA, of course, we've seen before in other studies, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, and they developed the candy and military aspects and, dare I say, AI military aspects for the military, okay? And we're going to have a whole study on just AI, the military, and the way of warfare is completely changing. You don't need humans for that anymore as well. Then in 1963, MIT starts getting massive amounts of money from ARPA to develop it, continues through the 70s. Other universities around the world begin to jump on board, Carnegie Mellon, Stanford, Edinburgh, okay? The Japanese finally get into it in about the 1980s, and they don't just dump millions, they dump billions of dollars into AI funding. They also made it practical for businesses to want it. It's like, okay, that's cool, so what? Well, they made a system called XCOM, and that thing with artificial intelligence could save, listen, companies $40 million, this is back in the 80s, $40 million a year. So now the companies say, hurry up and create this thing. We want it because it's going to save us big money. So now it becomes feasible to create. Then in the 80s, you also saw this. We'll get into this, Lord willing, next week in a much greater detail. In the 80s, they ran into what's called the common sense knowledge problem. You're saying, well, what's that? Well, that basically means there are no shortcuts in creating a true artificial brain. Okay, what they learned was the only way to create a true AI that mimics the human brain, you have to feed it information every single day, hand feed it, just like the human brain, right? Because just like when we grow up, right, as we grow in our intelligence, every day we're gaining information through our five senses, our hands, our eyes, our, right? Every day you're acquiring information, you're acquiring data, and that's what's needed for intelligence, right? They're saying that's the problem they ran into. There's no shortcuts. If you're going to create a AI that mimics the human brain, you have to give it, hand-feed it information every single day, right? Well, it just so happens, this is why you're seeing terms like big data as the key to create AI. You don't just need fast computers and microchips. You need a massive amount of data to daily feed into that system in order to mimic the human brain. Okay, and we got more data than we know what to do with. We'll get into that, Lord willing, next time. 1990s, again, it continues on, begins to spread on a major scale. 1997, you had the first computer chess game called Deep Blue. At this point, it's now 10 million times faster than that Ferranti Mark I chess thing, okay? And it already began to beat humans. This is back in 1997. This is the world chess champion, Garry Kasparov. Back then, it was already beating humans. Let's take a look at that.
Garry Kasparov, 34 years old, a cheerful and confident player throughout a dominating career, hovered over his pieces in the deciding game of a match with an implacable challenger. Deep Blue, a computer. Kasparov won the first game in a breeze, but the next day he got the shock of his life. To Kasparov, Deep Blue played the second game much more strongly, differently. Unlike a computer, he said. Kasparov conceded, and the loss wore on his mind for the rest of the match. In the final game, the computer led with the white pieces. And soon, Kasparov's fans had to admit that the once unthinkable might actually be happening. Kasparov is rattled. He defends what he can. But it's clear that the computer will reliably do what he himself would do. And he recognizes that he has already lost. On Deep Blue's 19th move, the champion resigns. How had it come to this?
Well, because they've been dumping billions of dollars into it, and they're creating it, and it's already starting to beat humans. Then in 1997, Tiger Electronics releases Furby. How many of you remember that thing? Remember Furby? Believe it or not, that was based on AI, and that was a big thing because that helped to propel it into the commercial industry, not just with Furby, but by 2000, there was all kinds of, remember those AI little pets, smart pets and toys and all that stuff? That began to take off. So the businesses start like an AI. Now it becomes financially feasible. We can profit off of that, and that's what you need with new inventions, unfortunately. 2002, another invention, the iRobot Roomba. Right? We'll get into more of this later, but automatically with AI can vacuum your floor because it's just too hard to do it yourself. Okay, apparently. We'll get into that aspect as well. 2005, Stanford Robot won DARPA. Notice they're still at it, DARPA, with AI. And they won the challenge of driving autonomously for 131 miles along an unrehearsed desert trail. So this is back in 2005. They already got vehicles that can drive wherever. Doesn't matter, don't need humans anymore. Which, of course, led to another conference, the 50-year annuals in 2006 with Dartmouth as well. And then by 2009, 4 years later, after Stanford's robot, Google builds their Google car. Okay, and again, we're going to have a whole section just on transportation, how that's being taken over by AI. 2010, Microsoft launches the Kinect Xbox 360 that used AI and to track human body movement using infrared and 3D cameras. You guys remember when that first came out? That was like, oh, this is amazing. I don't even have to. It could see you and recognize you as you're interacting with the game. 2011, the Jeopardy quiz show had a match between IBM's AI called Watson. Okay. And they put it against the two best Jeopardy champions of all time. Beat their pants off. Let's take a look at a quick news report of that.
Who is Bram Stoker and the wager? Hello, 17,973, 41,413, and a two-day total of 77,147.
Well, we just seen history made here on KXAN this afternoon. Watson, the supercomputer, wiping the floor with the two greatest human champions ever to play Jeopardy. Watson was primarily developed at IBM's Austin site.
And IBM had consulting help from a team of UT scientists. Well, today they gathered at a watch party to celebrate Watson's success, and that's where KXAN's David Scott joins us now from with more on this epic battle of men versus machine. David.
And celebrate they did. You know, it's much tougher to teach a supercomputer to play Jeopardy than it is to teach it to play chess. Jeopardy is tough. The questions are tricky, the language is ambiguous, and the topics are far-ranging. So how did a machine beat the two greatest Jeopardy players ever? It's elementary, my dear Watson.
Watson.
What is it, Shu?
You are right. You get to pick.
Literary character, APB, for 800.
Answer, the Daily Double.
Watson is a supercomputer 4 years in the making, stuffed with data. But he also has the ability to reason how likely his answer is correct.
From that, it comes to a final decision, and it rates its uncertainty. I've actually been showing on the show, here's my answer, and here's my confidence in those answers. And then if its confidence is high enough in one of the answers, by the time the light goes on, it buzzes in and hazards.
Seems to have a split personality.
Who is Hyde?
Hyde, yes, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, either one acceptable. You're now in the lead with 1,400.
Watson practiced with nearly a 250,000 questions from previous Jeopardy seasons to understand the game and develop a way of reasoning not unlike the way we reason.
In the future, there will be other applications for Watson's type of technology. It could transform business and society. You get instant ready answers and expertise in the fields of law, medicine, engineering, just about anything you can think of. And besides, Watson's always got a pleasant disposition.
For now. Yeah.
That's the danger, folks. 2011-14, you got a launch. Now it starts to take off exponentially. Apple developed Siri using AI. Google Now, 2012. Microsoft Cortana, 2014. Of course, that's for your smart apps and things of that nature. 2015, it starts to get very apparent. This is a seriously big, dangerous thing that we're doing. There actually was an open letter that went out to the world to ban the development specifically of AI military machines. Killing machines, okay? It was signed by Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk, and Steve Wozniak. He's the co-founder of Apple, including 3,000 other researchers in AI and robotics. How many guys would say that they're trying to warn us? Okay, it wasn't just a couple people. Thousands of scientists in this industry saying, we better stop this. 2016, you have another conference, and they're basically saying, well, we really got to get a handle on this, not just in the military aspect, but we got to make sure that this AI technology continues to benefit us and doesn't spiral out of control and take us over. Okay, that was just in 2016. 2017, there you go, Google's DeepMind. They're already producing this AI. Again, they outbought Elon Musk. Okay, they developed a system called AlphaGo. Okay, it won 60-0 rounds on two public Go websites. Go is a game we're going to see in a second. Okay, and it beat the world championships, and that's the tip of the iceberg. Go, this from DeepMind, this AI system does not even need a human to teach it anymore. It actually can learn on its own, and they admit it's growing exponentially out of control. It's now the most powerful gaming AI on the whole planet, and it happened in a matter of days. Watch this.
Go is arguably the most complex board game in existence. Its goal is simple: surround more territory than your opponent. This game has been played by humans for the past 2,500 years and is thought to be the oldest board game still being played today. However, it's not only humans that are playing this game now. In 2016, Google DeepMind's AlphaGo beat 18-time world champion Lisa Dole in 4 out of 5 games. Now, normally a computer beating a human at a game like chess or checkers wouldn't be that impressive, but Go is different. Go cannot be solved by brute force, Go cannot be predicted. There are over 10 to the 170 moves possible in Go. To put that into perspective, there are only 10 to the 80 atoms in the observable universe. AlphaGo was trained using data from real human Go games. It ran through millions of games and learned the techniques used and even made up new ones that no one had ever seen. And this is very impressive alone. However, what many people don't know is that only a year after AlphaGo's victory over Lisa Dole, a brand new AI called AlphaGo Zero beat the original AlphaGo. Not in 4 out of 5 games, not in 5 out of 5 games, not in 10 out of 10 games, but beat AlphaGo 100-0, 100 games in a row. The most impressive part? It learned how to play with zero human interaction. This technique is more powerful than any previous version. Why? It isn't restricted to human knowledge. No data was given, no historical figures were given. With just the bare bones rules, AlphaGo Zero surpassed the previous AlphaGo in only 40 days of learning. In only 40 days, it surpassed over 2,500 years of strategy and knowledge. It only played against itself and is now regarded as the best Go player in the world, even though it isn't human. But wait, if this AI learned how to play without any human interaction, made up strategies of its own, and then beat us with those strategies, then that means there is more non-human knowledge about Go than there is human. And if we continue to develop artificial intelligence, then that means there's going to be more and more non-human intelligence. Eventually, there's going to be a point where we represent the minority of intelligence, maybe even a very minuscule amount. That's fine though, we can just turn it off, right? It's a thought, but think. If this artificial intelligence becomes super intelligent and learns through and is connected to the internet, well, we can't just shut down the entire internet, there's no off switch. So what happens if we end up stuck with AI that is constantly and exponentially getting smarter than we are? What if it gets to a point that us humans get in the way, and the AI hits the off switch on humanity?
Yeah, it's called singularity, is the term they use. God calls it the end of times. This is how far it's going, folks. We have no clue. 2018, Google announces their duplex service. That's that AI assistant thing you saw on the phone that made the reservation for the person sound exactly with the person, even with the and all that stuff. You can't even distinguish it. And of course, currently 2019-4, AI is measured in what's called Moore's Law, which predicts that the speed and memory capacity of computers doubles every 2 years, which is why futurist and technology expert Google engineer Ray Kurzweil, we'll get into him later, he says, quote, machines with human-level intelligence will appear by when? 2019. 2029. They used to have dates of 2045. Then it came down to 2035. Now he's come down to 2029. Elon Musk said what? 5 years. Okay, it's growing so fast that even the experts can't even realize it. And he says that's going to be the event when, quote, singularity happens, where AI, quote, will exceed human intellectual capacity and radically change and or even end civilization. And we're all worried about the economy. Do I or do I not have to wear a mask? And what's up with that virus thing again? And all this is happening behind the scenes. Are we distracted or what? Squirrel! Yeah, that's what they're doing to us, right? While all this is going on, don't look here, because this is being all, going all. This is going to run the planet. And the game that they're playing, that they're not going to win, is they think the one who can create the biggest, baddest one first will get to rule the world. It's going to blow up on them. You should have listened to God. But again, while we're all distracted, folks, this is what's going on. And dare I say, it's a huge mega sign that we're living the last days. What did Daniel say 2,600 years ago? When you see this increase of travel on the planet like never before, when you see this increase of knowledge exploding all over the planet like never before, even dare I say threatening to take over the planet, guess what? It's a sign that you're living in the last days. Time is running out, okay? In fact, once again, let's take a look at the industry tech guys, and they may not read the Bible, they may not agree with us as Christians, but they are telling us, yes, you do need to be concerned about this. And it's really freaking them out. Watch this.
This is why many tech titans, even many who are building AI systems, are scared to death of what they're actually trying to create. Here's Elon Musk.
If I were to guess at what our biggest existential threat is, it's probably that. So we need to be very careful with artificial intelligence. I'm increasingly inclined to think that there should be some regulatory oversight at the national and international level, just to make sure that we don't do something very foolish. With artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. You know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, "Yeah, you sure you can control the demon?" Didn't work out.
It'll be like summoning a demon, he says. Yet the big tech giants from Google to Facebook are all racing, trying to become the first ones to build such a thing. Here's AI developer Gordy Rose, whose company Kindred is trying to build one of these demons, and just listen to how freaked out he is, trying to explain to the audience what's going to happen when this AI system is fully functioning.
This is an attitude that some are having, this emerging alarmism about the way this is going to go. So this transition is really, really massively important for our entire species to navigate. And going back to that thing that Sam Harris was saying, nobody is paying attention. This thing is happening in the background while people bicker about politics and what's going to be in the healthcare plan in the U.S. And underneath it all is this rising tsunami that, if we're not careful, is going to wipe us all out.
We've ever heard that before? Book of Daniel, 2,600 years ago, end of times. They don't call it that. They call it singularity. And the guys are saying, we're not just concerned about this, but we're so concerned about it, we're even going to use your terms, Christians. We're summoning a demon. Now, last time I checked, my theory is this. When you see non-Christians using strong Christian words like summoning up a demon, that should get your attention. That's how far this is, okay? Again, folks, either way, it's a huge mega sign that we're living in the last days. The AI invasion is not coming. It's already begun. And we're just getting started in our study. But the reason why God does this is so that we can freak out and run to the hills, right? No, as always, Luke 21:28. Why is this happening? Why does God tell us these things in advance? So that we'd be encouraged. Certainly as Christians, be excited. What's he say? He says, listen, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. I don't know the day nor the hour of the rapture, but I know the rapture happens before the 7-year tribulation, when all this stuff is really going to be culminated on a massive global scale. Okay, but if I see all those events that are going to take place in the 7-year tribulation, the groundwork being here now, then man, how much closer is it for us? And last time I checked, the rapture is not worst case scenario, that's best case scenario. Okay, last time I checked, God saved us for a much better place than this garbage can. You guys getting sick and tired of it yet? Yeah. Or do you want to have another virus come along and rip off your freedoms? No. Right? I'm ready to go. right? But what do we do? We're not. This is not time for us to hide out. It's a time to advance. It's a time to get excited. The Bible says that we are to long for his appearing, not run from it. We're to be excited. We don't know the day or the hour, but this just means when I see this, woohoo, Jesus is coming back and he's going to come get me his bride. And so it could happen today. It's imminent. So I need to finish strong. I need to be out there sharing the gospel to as many people as I can, whether it's through the topic of Bible prophecy or through AI to grab their attention or the occult or witchcraft or just, hey, man, you need to receive Christ. You're saved. Just do something, but don't get distracted. Don't get upset that Jesus is coming back. What kind of a Christian is that? And I've said this before. I'll say it again. If you don't want to hear Bible prophecy, and if you don't like to hear this news that the planet is wrapping up, can I tell you what my personal experience has been in 25-some years now being a pastor? It's because you're violating Scripture. The Bible says if you love Jesus, you long for his appearing. Who doesn't want to see Jesus, man, after all he's done for us? Woo! And when he comes and gets us, we get to be in a place beyond our wildest dreams. Nobody's got a brighter future than us. But if you don't want that, if you don't want to hear news that's basically telling you it's getting close for that day, you know what the problem is? You're an idol worshiper. You're violating Scripture. 1 John says, do not love this world nor the things of this world. Because if you love this world more than Jesus Christ, you're not going to want to hear news that he's coming back. Because you really secretly don't want him to, because you're playing with this wicked world system. Whew. I hope that's not you. I hope we finish strong and faithful as a faithful bride. Amen? But hey, if you're here today, if you're watching online, if you ain't saved, what more has God got to do to get your attention? Man, how many different signs has he got to give you? He's not going to tell you the exact day, right? But he's giving you signs it's getting close. Why delay? Praise God, there is a way out. There's only one way out, and that's through Jesus Christ. If you haven't asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you need to do that now. Do not be left behind. AI is not going to lead to some utopian convenience and incredible society. It's going to turn on mankind if God allows it to go that far. It'll be the destruction of everything you know. You don't want to be there. It's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. Get saved now. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart.
Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.